funny enough, it's just dropped in my mind that it's not everybody that should repeat that, so nobody should say it. I'm just telling somebody. You have been confused long enough. They have worried you long enough. You have wasted the anointing of God, anointing your enemies, shouting Holy Ghost fires on people that you should have been shouting nothing on. Your next Holy Ghost fire should be on your own head. And you enter your closet tonight, you say, upon my head, Holy Ghost fire. There's one song we used to sing those days. Fire, 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 fall on me. Don't you like that one? Fire, 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 fall on me. Uh-huh. The Pentecost fire. How did he say it again? Holy Ghost fire, uh-huh. Fire, fall on. Let us sing it, Joe. Holy Ghost fire, fire, fall on me. Not on my enemies, oh. Like the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me, not my enemies. Now that your song don't change, you go and tell everybody in town that you people have corrupted the song of God. We want to reinstate the correct singing. When they chant, all my enemies, Holy Ghost fire, I say, wait, Holy Ghost fire, fire, fall on me. Don't fall on my enemies. They will not be anointed. You see how confusion has come into our lives in Christianity? And then everybody saying, all my enemies, Holy Ghost fire. That's why they don't have any power in their lives again. I pray that we will go to church the way we gather and everybody starts saying, upon my head, Holy Ghost, fire. Next day, there will be revival all over town. Holy Ghost, fire doesn't pursue your enemies. It falls on you, makes you bold. You know why? Holy Spirit is not afraid of your enemies. It's not. I'm not emphasizing to us again. That's how God made us. He said, greater is he that is in you. Say it, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Say like you believe it. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Listen, he said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's where you are dwelling that matters. And that's what we were saying last time. You know, that's why I just went into reviewing that briefly. All right? That is, we don't need to worry ourselves with what is happening outside in that regard, as long as we are sure we have kept ourselves inside. And that's why we've been talking about prayer and personal purification. That is, all the devil ever does is to try and draw us from inside to the outside. Balaam came, Israel was inside. So he told Balak, as long as they are inside, we cannot do anything. So let's draw them outside. How do we draw them outside? We send temptations, all right? We send sexual immorality into their camp. Once they get into that, even their own God will turn against them. By that time, they are outside the garden. They will have walked out of the hedge of God, the hedge that he put around Job. Job will have, by getting involved with those immoralities, removed himself from under that cover. And Satan will have been very happy. Say, oh God, Job, thank you. Thank you for coming out. Are you getting my point? So what do? We ensure we don't come out. And I said, we'll do that with prayer. It's not just by determination alone. Yes, it starts with the desire. It starts with the determination. But because life can be tempting, there may be pressures in life, what we do is pray. He said, Jesus spoke like, he said, pray that you do not fall into temptations. Pray that you do not enter into temptation. He told the disciples. So when he did not pray, all right, like he said they should, they were sleeping. He still had mercy on them, but he had to show them through the life of Peter how things work. That is, he would have had the same problem, except that he went into the garden and he prayed until the angels of God came and strengthened him. For him, temptation was to walk away from the plan of God for his life. No, listen, that is a serious matter. I just feel like staying there for a moment. There are times you are in a place, and these are things that have happened both to me, people have come to me for counsel and all of that, and people will start putting pressure on you that if you move from here and go here, things will be better for you. You are working in Enugu here. Why don't you just leave Enugu here and go down to Port Harcourt? Things will be better. And now sometimes, and I'm not telling you stories. And indeed, for some people, it worked like that. Because God has a location for everybody. Maybe they left Enugu and went to Port Harcourt. And by so doing, they walked into the will of God for their lives. They now think it is Enugu to Port Harcourt that is the issue. Now, listen to the Bible just now, and I realized that, we always say all the time that David came against Goliath with stone and sling. Actually, David did not come against Goliath with stone and sling. He said, I come against you in the name of the Lord. You understand my point? So if the Lord carried stone and sling, we use it. Stone and sling is not the key to killing giants. He never used it the second time. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? Next time he took a sword. But whatever it is that he was doing, he was coming in the name of the Lord of Israel. That was the issue. Please, you are getting what I'm going to explain. So for one man, he may have left Enugu and gone to Port Harcourt and his life changed. One man left Enugu and went to America, his life changed. Does not mean that that is the only way God saves now. And sometimes you feel you are located in the place where you are supposed to be. And pressure comes. Pressure is on you, morning, afternoon, and night. Listen, if you are under pressure long enough, sometimes you bulge. So what do? It is time to what? To pray. I've told you my own story again and again. I've been doing ministry in this very place where we are, meeting on Saturdays and Tuesdays. Now, Tuesdays came later, but Saturdays for over 10 years. I've heard all kinds of things. Why don't you just move it to Sunday? After all, you are already doing church care, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, you say you meet on Tuesday, what do you do? Pray, and then Saturday night. That's two services in a week. I mean, that's already a church. Just change it to Sunday. If it's already a church, then leave it like that now. I don't know whether you're getting my point. If it's already a church, why are you not telling me to, Why? And my man was telling me that. He said, listen, people are not faithful. You bless them on Saturday, they take their offerings to their churches on Sunday. So what are you saying, sir? Start your services on Sunday so you can be there to receive the offering. I said, thank you, sir. Now, some things are not temptations for me. Generally speaking, they are temptations. But personally speaking, they are not temptations. God strengthened me against such things long ago. Long ago. So that one ended after a while. I know they listened. Then another one came. I know that one. It's like, this is very nice. But you know, you can bless more people. Now, that's very sensible. That is good. Some people will not bother to come and hear the word of God in the evening on a Saturday. But on Sunday, everybody has to go somewhere. Is that not good? No, think about it. One woman my wife invited here one day. By the time she finished, I don't know whether she came once or a few times. She was so tremendously blessed. I was asking my wife, why does your husband not pastor a church? We are looking for a church to go to. Many people are looking for this kind of church to go to. But the many people are so busy, they don't have time to come on Saturday evening. See what I'm saying? I won't lie to you. That particular reasoning was the only one that got my attention for a brief period. Now, what do I mean? Because it actually made me pray. So that, now, what are you praying about? I just wanted to be sure that I was not being stubborn. Until, of course, and that's what I wanted to share about this evening. Until the Lord gave me insight, and I realized why it's crucial that, at least for now, and I've been saying this at least for now for the last 10 years, that we do this thing the way we do it currently. Just for those who are wondering what I'm talking about, what I mean by that understanding, it affects the kind of message you preach. Yeah, it does. It does. No, it's not about wickedness. So it's not as if you modify your message. If everybody comes with very shallow minds, you understand? And you have to bless them. Once you go deep, you lose them. You feel the anointing kind of... So when you know what's happening, you come up a bit lighter. You understand? You come lighter and then you stay there. One of my friends just said simply, many people are already doing that. I think we have plenty of that. There are things that I hear from your mouth I don't hear from other places. So you have to continue the way you are doing so that we can continue to connect at that particular level. Not a big deal. I mean, what I mean is, it's not a big deal if you do it the other way. All right? It's not wrong. But if you do that, then somebody else has to take up the one you are doing currently. Somebody else has to. And do you have somebody else to do that? You know, that kind of thing. Uh-huh. So, now, let me tell you, temptations are not always evil in the way we look at it. Temptations are not always, like the case I went to attend to this morning. I had to go to court for something. All right, and so the lawyer was telling me the issues about it and all of that. That normally what they would do is kind of thing, they would pay off the prosecution and all of that. You know, that's temptation. You know, money, take, pervert justice. That's one kind of temptation. Okay? But there's another kind of temptation which is just as bad. That's the one that good Christians, in quotes now, if you're a good Christian, you have to be very careful about. That is the one that has good attached to it. They say, do good. What do I mean? It is simple. Jesus is going. He said, I will be killed. Why should they kill you? Nothing evil must happen to you. You see that? That's it. There's not nobody saying steal anything. We're trying to protect you. You are a blessing to the generation. Why should we let anything bad happen to you? But Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Because it was not a right thing. There's another one. Jesus came. And the Roman government was a bad government. Herod was a bad king. And the people said, now that you have come, we shall mobilize and make you our king. Then you can bless them with this kind of Solomonic amplified wisdom. You know, there's Solomon's wisdom. Then there's Solomon's wisdom that's amplified. That we have descended in you. Israel will prosper. In fact, we are going to make you king. Listen, that is why it sounds good does not make it right. I don't know whether you get my point. It might be good, but does not make it right. And it is temptation, actually, which you also have to resist. It's also temptation, which you must resist. And it is more terrible when it is good. That is, the resisting of it is more difficult. After a while, with all the visions and revelations that Mary had, do you know they were able to mobilize her to come and talk to Jesus to please come home? Do you know that? They were able to mobilize Mother Mary. Holy Mary, full of grace. They mobilized her. Ah! So, you know, some people think that the woman never did anything wrong. That is the pressure. It's not her fault. As a young woman, angel appeared. She conceived miraculously. Delivered in a strange place. The child, I mean, she saw the hand of God everywhere. Yet! That is the problem with good temptation. No, my good. Temptation that appears good. Look at how he's disgracing the family. We are not saying he should not do ministry. He can do ministry. But this one that is abusing Pharisees every day, how will the Pharisees believe? The whole family gathered. After a while, Mary said, okay, I've heard. We are coming. You know, he doesn't listen to anybody. Apart from you. So let us go now. That was how they mobilized how. She went there. Look, the good, nice temptations of, they are the difficult, the dangerous ones. You could not have bribed his mother to come. It's not possible. You could not have done anything, but you're the one like, look at it. Is it good? He said, oh, he's a son of God. We are not saying he's not a son of God. But should they kill a son of God suddenly like this? After a while, she had to agree. Thank God Jesus understood. He said, your mother and your brother are looking for you. He said, they can't be looking for me. They are here. He said, no, we mean your mother and your brother. They are outside. He said, no. Look at them. Anyone that hears the word of God and does the word of God, the same is my mother and my brother and my sister. So see, they are all with me. I can't go outside. I mean, God said, I want you to stop embarrassing me. After that, I believe she not agree answer them again. Oh, you wicked souls. You want to lead me to make him derail from his ministry. That is the problem in life oftentimes. Somebody came to Jesus and said, look, I will serve you, but let me first go home and go and bury my father. Look, his father wasn't dead, you must understand. What happened is his father was old. So he wanted to go home and stay with his father, take care of his father, until the man would die, they will now be free. And that was a temptation. What am I going to say? That's when we need to pray. I mean, Well, maybe it was not a very terrible thing because I had a lot of understanding. But those are the kind of temptations that, in quote, good people face. You know, this is not what I'm supposed to do. They say, you can't help people like that. Listen, you are not here to help people. Amen? Amen? I pray you understand. I'm giving you also Chambers' words. You are not here to help people. You are here to obey the word of God. It is the Father that is helping people. Also, Chambers said it like this, that Jesus didn't come to save the world. That he came to do the will of the Father. That it was the Father that was saving the world. For God so loved the world. It was the Father loving the world, not Jesus Christ. That he came to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father, as far as Jesus explained it to us, the way he explained it, that listen, sometimes it will appear as if you hate your father and your mother. I told you once, I don't know whether you remember this story, a friend of mine came to see me. Nigeria was tough that time, you know. People say it's tough now. Well, maybe for me personally, it's much less, you know, toughness. And financially, I can do literally, this is not literally, I can do 50 times or maybe 100 times, all right, now what I could do that time. But then if I could buy a loaf of bread, now I can buy 100 loaves. So personally, maybe it's, you know, it's much easier. But generally, forget just personally. I mean, when I came to Enugu, they told me that before Obasanjo came into power, there were very few cars in UNTH. After Obasanjo took over as president, over the next few years, there was no parking space in UNTH. They moved to the new site with a vast amount of land. There's still no parking space. Because everybody, young boys, young doctors, nurses, lab scientists, all of them, they buy cars. That time, they couldn't. I told the story then, I didn't used to go anywhere. You had been paid an equivalent of $50 in a month. That's how it was. My salary was $50 in a month. All right? So if you calculate into this naira, you know how much it came to. I was a post-NYC medical doctor. And everybody was rushing to embassies, and I said, I'm not going. Everybody wanted to go abroad. I said, I don't have to go abroad. Why? Because the word of the Lord had come to me before saying, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I didn't feel the pressure to go anywhere, even though I knew there were problems everywhere. One of my chiefs said he spent all his salary buying postage stamps. There were no email was not like this that time. Everything you wanted to send abroad, you sent by post. He said, Banky, all my money went into buying postage stamp because you send letter to US, letter to UK, letter to other parts of Europe, letter to Bahamas, letter to all the Caribbean islands. He sent letters. He said he will earn salary. He will take more than a tithe and an offering. Post office. There are times he will post letters with a whole month's salary. People wanted to get out desperately. And I don't know. I would just sit down in my house in Lagos. I said, all I need to do is to keep studying. I don't have to go anywhere. I didn't have the money to go anywhere. I was a country. Money had more value that time. Yes, the value was so high, I bought only used shirts. You can imagine. And they work for a teaching hospital. I'll be a doctor. I said, no, they don't open bill. Now would they go buy shirts? No, it's funny. No, now my colleagues want to buy shirts. They walk into twice as nice and pick up TM Lee shirts. Who born who? What was TM Lee? What was TM Lee? Nobody understood what was TM Lee. Only TM Lee you wore. One white man, don't use it, don't tire. Don't drop it. I'm serious. And we wore them with pride. I'm not lying to you. God knows, I'm telling you the things the way they were. I don't tell anybody, if you do not want to give you money, come before the 15th of the month. I usually go broke around the 12th. No, not a joke. This day, sometimes the other day I pick one of my trousers, I was washed, put my hand in the pocket, 3,000 naira. I said, man, things don't change. That time. Nonsense. By the 15th of the month, me, I personally searched all the pockets. What nonsense are you telling me? No, because I don't forget money for pocket. I did forget. But I don't find them by myself. No, because I will come wear the trousers. I can't find money inside. Lie, lie. But in all of that, I'll just sit down. I just sit down and relax. The boys were hustling here and there. Oh, God. I read a lot of Bible. I read Bible. Now, this is what I'm talking about. So one day, a friend of mine came to see me. Age mate, but he did a first degree before he went to study medicine in Ibadan. So He was therefore far behind me in schooling. So he just finished that and I was a resident. How far? He says he's planning to go to South Africa and all of that. So again, you know, what each person sees differs. So I couldn't see what they were seeing. Though we were in the midst of everything, but I was happy. I mean, I had a reputation. I was a happy person. You get my point? I was a very sincere person. I didn't know how to pretend. I was happy, you know? So I couldn't understand what the issue was. He said, "Banky, you know, you are lucky." He now began to tell me that, look, Shane, I've already moved. I'm already a resident now. That he has problems. He kept on talking. I noticed one. This point I'm trying to make. By the time he finished talking about all the challenges he had, he explained the fact that his sister had a serious health challenge, which the money to correct it, all right, was huge. And that who else will come up with the money? He's a family friend. I know his father. I know his mother. All right? That who else will come up with the money that is him? That he can't just relax like this. That he has to go out and hustle for money. I remember that night, I almost cried. You know why? Suddenly something hits me that I'm very selfish. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I was relaxed. I was not thinking about other people. Look at how this guy was thinking about his sister, thinking about his family. That you, uncle. It hits me. That night I laid down and said, "Banky, how could you be so stupid?" Suddenly everything I thought I understood was scattered in my head. And I laid down, you know, groaning and meditating and feeling bad. Ah, Father in heaven, what's going on? Then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, "Except a man hates his father and his mother, he can't be my disciple." Then I realized something. No, you cannot love your father and your mother and your sister enough. Banky, listen to me. To leave the order I have placed your life in. You can't disrupt it. I went to go and join a church, one very popular church. If I mention the name, all of you will know it. One of the most famous churches in Nigeria. And that was the day I entered. I said, "Let me join this ministry and settle down and walk." And it was as if they planted two angels there to throw me out. I've told this story a number of times, so people are very close to me. I entered this church, I've been many times. And as soon as I sat down, it's as if the angels just took a nylon bag, you know, polythene bag, and just put it over my head and tied it. I could not breathe. I struggled. I'll do like this. The breath will go in and out. But once I finish, it would be as if I was choking, I was about to die. Something in me, as that was going on, "You are in the wrong place. I didn't send you here. You are in the wrong place. You are not supposed to be." I just knew that was what was going on. As soon as the service ended, I got up and ran. I don't mean that I walked out. Very big church, there were many people. I ran through the crowd, dashed out of the place. As soon as I got outside, I became free. I look at that building. A church. So I'm not coming here again. I never entered the place again apart from one day. That happened in 1995, I'm sure. Around middle of 95. I never entered that denomination again, apart from once, when one of my friends got married there. And the Sunday after, they were doing Thanksgiving. So we came in, they were doing Thanksgiving, another part of town now. Another part of Nigeria. That was the only day. When they talk here, talk good there, I just said, I just give quiet. I said, "Me? Please, I love long life and prosperity. The Holy Spirit has made it clear to me, if you enter that place, somebody will choke you, will die one day." Now, I'm not a bringer of an issue. Listen, I'm not bragging on myself. You understand my point? But Jesus talk. You understand? And he knows where he's coming from. I know God prepared me, took time to teach the word of God. I don't make a mess of it. That is not a joke. Can't use anything to entice me. I don't want to die suddenly, honestly. Love my wife too much. The one with the pain, they will not give her to another person. That's the one where I don't go agree. The Lord is good. I know the Lord is good. For that reason, all the good temptations of life, I have to resist them. I have to resist them. So when my friend was speaking that day, I felt bad. Bad because I suddenly felt like a wicked and selfish person. Yes, you are confident. What about everybody else around you? But what Chambers said, the cost of discipleship is not what it costs you as an individual. It's what it costs those that you love. Now, what's my message? Our time has gone, so I have to wrap it up here. The message is the fact that, how do you handle such times? You get on your knees. Oh. You get on your knees and you pray. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Nevertheless, not my will. That is, there's nothing. Look, if a man of faith understands what everybody else understands, it's just that he understands some things other people don't understand. Are there troubles? Yes, of course, I knew all the troubles that time. I knew the troubles. I knew how bad things were. I remember the day they told me my father was ill. I didn't have money to transport myself home to go and see him. I had enough to pay the transport. How you walk home? You pay transport, you come in empty-handed. I knew how bad things were. But there's one word I never forgot. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. When temptations came and said, listen, move the way everybody is moving. Do what everybody else is doing. This is the way to break out of this poverty that everybody is experiencing. I said no. But the no was not easy. There are times people will, that is pressure. Then you get home and you pray. There's a way God answers it. There are times you just close all the doors. They say, okay, satisfy them. Try one door. Bam! They close it against you. Break your toe in the process. Try the next one. Bam! Close it against you. Break your little finger in the process. Then they say, guys, easy. I told you I was not in the first place. There's a way. That's one of the ways he does it. Other ways, he just removes the desire from your heart. I've had people tell me that, look, this is where I am. This is how much I'm earning. It's not fantastic. And my friends are sending me forms. Look, fill this form, fill the form. Say, please, I talk to them. I feel I am in the place where I'm supposed to be, at least for this season. It happens. Good temptation is the problem of Christians. That's real Christians. Real Christians. That is people who love God. Not, you know, not people who come to church, come so. You know what I'm trying to say? They are those who say that if you are looking for a husband, go to that church. They donate husband there. You go. They look for children, go to this other one. They donate children there. You go. They are looking for God. They look. Just that one will not be Christianity. That is, I want to have my needs met. I want to take care of, you know, the needs of today by force. I'm worldly minded. I'm trying to achieve what everybody's achieving. So let me use God to reach that purpose. If you go to that church, they will show you how to sow a seed. You get a car, you go there. Listen, as a Christian, don't ever go up and down looking for anything more than where you will discover the true knowledge of God. When you do that, all other things are added unto you. Anything you have turned into prayer point, morning, afternoon, and night, sowing seed towards God hasn't given you yet. No, that's a matter of fact, too. That's true Christianity. He hasn't given you yet. He hasn't given you yet. What you need is the knowledge of God. That's what I want to talk about today. That's why we read that portion. I just ended up not commenting about it. What you need is what? The knowledge of God. That's what you need. He said, those that know their God. That's what I want to actually discuss. We read that one from that Daniel just now. He said that all these temptations of life, he said these people will be corrupted by smooth words. Smooth words. You must understand the smooth words. That is, it will sound nice. Everything they are saying will sound good and authentic and, you know, have a good disposition towards it. They will be corrupted. He said, but it's only those who know their God that will be strong. And despite all these pressures, they will do valiantly. That is, knowledge is what they need. So what a Christian needs, that's what I want to talk about today. I didn't get into it. Is to pray as part of personal purification. To continuously pray for the knowledge of God. Most of my talk today has been on the fact that you have to avoid good temptation. You understand my point? But in everything, we'll talk about it next time. I was hoping to get into it today, but I didn't get into it. You must pray for the knowledge of God. You must pray for understanding. You must. That's the number one thing you need. It helps you stand against temptations. Understanding. Say, those who know their God, they are the ones that will display strength and take action. They are the ones that will do valiantly. And knowledge, you pray for it. Apart from the fact that you walk, you know, you study. But the first thing you do is you pray. That efficient prayer that Ken Hagin taught us is very important. We'll take it next time. Let's save time and close on time today. It's very important you pray that prayer. It helps you. It's not only preachers. I am a teacher of the word of God. So sometimes people get confused. It's because you have to teach. That's why you need all of. No. You need insight to do your business well. You need insight to run your home well. You need insight to run your career. Anything you want to run, you need insight. We're talking about here to keep yourself pure. To keep yourself pure. Some of the things people call temptation, I don't call them temptations. That to me is not a temptation. Do you understand? There are temptations, but some things people call temptations, they don't call them, they call them poison. What's temptation is that you want to give you plenty of money? I've understood life enough to know that money doesn't make sense. I don't know whether they get my point. Can be poor today, rich tomorrow, poor the day after. From understanding the word of God, I know that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. I'm aware of the fact that if you change this my suit today and change it to a pure, high quality Armani, the first day, I will feel good in it. Second day, I'll feel good in it. By the third day, I'm back to the feeling I had today. That's the way it is. That's just the way it is. You know, just by the way, you know, mobile phones, they're always changing new model. As iPhone 4 was coming out, Galaxy S3 came out, iPhone 4S came out with it, then Galaxy S4 came out, and then iPhone 5 showed up. You know, they'll just be competing. But somebody said, by the time they're releasing one, they made the next one. Waiting for you to just buy this one, then they confuse your soul again. So I told people, I said, listen, make up your mind what you need. Buy it. Hold it. Endure it for the period of time that you should endure it. Carry your eye away from all kinds of temptations. When I got the phone, I was using that right now. A month later, LG released their own version with double the RAM of my own at 5,000 naira cheaper. I was like this. Leave me alone. I'm not tempted. You know why the temptation is simple? Because I came to an understanding that, listen, after 2 days, you are back to the same place in your heart. And that's what matters, the gladness in your heart. So if you cannot tap into gladness in God, money won't give it to you. You see all these Oyinbo actors that be changing husband every other week. That's what happens. When you just see the guy for the first time, you won't die. Oh, God, this is the man. You will come out for this one, marry that one. After 1 week, you realize that all these men are the same. They're all demon-possessed. Understanding gives you that. That's what I say. So some things are not temptation because of understanding. What do we need as Christians? He said, those that know their God, they are the ones that will show strength. They are the ones that will display strength and take good action. They are the ones that will do valiantly. So we need to pray that we may get into that deep knowledge of God. I hope I've spoken the word of God to you this evening. If you're blessed, say an amen.
Amen.
Let's just bow down our heads and just say, Father, thank you. We are closing right away. Just say, Father, thank you. Just say, Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your insight. Just say, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your insight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. And I declare your blessing upon your people again. You are blessing your going out and your coming in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
No evil will befall you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In every experience of your life, God will lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake.
Amen.
You will understand the face of God better every day in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I declare that it is well with you. I said that your hand is filled with the blessing of God.
Amen.
And anything you touch is blessed in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you touch your body and say to it, peace be upon you, the peace of God will permit that body and bring healing to you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is well within your going out and your coming in. Your future is bright, your future is secure.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.